When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app. Happy to be joined in studio by a guy that we rooted for tremendously when he was at Maryland. Of course, played high school basketball for Stu Vetter, played in the NBA. Now he's talking about his baseball prowess in the break. It's Gravis Vasquez.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Gravis. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you, guys.
I mean, this guy's Terps royalty.
You are Terps royalty. Yeah. You're one of those guys. And I'd probably put Juan Dixon this way, too. Juan played a long time. Juan played 7, 8, 9 years, whatever, in the league. You played 7 years in the league. But I feel like you're more defined by Maryland. Like, don't take that the wrong way. Like, you're a Maryland legend more than you are, in my mind, an NBA legend. And you had a great NBA career.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I can never thank the school enough and people around Maryland and the way they supported me. Imagine a kid coming from Caracas all the way here to the DMV and all of a sudden you're playing in high school with, you know, Kevin Durant. So I graduated from high school with Kevin Durant and all of a sudden I go to Maryland. Didn't take any other visits. One day I was doing my homework in the living room, and I'm watching Coach Williams just yelling at his assistant coaches, and I go like, I want to play for that dude, man.
Really?
That didn't
intimidate you?
Not at all, because, you know, coming from Caracas, my coaches, when I was a young kid, they were tough. They were really tough. They used to yell at me and cuss at me, and I was used to it, so I
didn't bother you.
I never took it personal. And Gary, honestly, Coach Williams, and even Stu Vetter. You mentioned Stu Vetter. Wow, yeah. Stu Vetter is
a legend,
like a stepfather to me, and everything he did, just bringing me to the country and to the United States, helping me going to high school.
How did that work? Yeah. If we can stop there. So you're playing in Venezuela. You're playing for like the national team, maybe U15 team, whatever you are. How do you get here?
Well, I went to a program that is called NBA Without Borders.
Okay.
So like the best athletes from like South American region go like from the age 13 to 15. So we like Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans, Colombia, Brazilians, Argentinians, and the NBA organized that through FIBA as well. So it's like a showcase. So I went there, and U15, I was really good at that age, probably the best player in my country.
How tall are you then?
Like around 6'2", 6'3".
Good size.
And point guard.
Right.
And then I went there, and I did pretty good. And remember this guy, his name is Arturo Ortega. Probably one of the best agents in Europe. Just hired, like, his clients were like Manu Ginobili, the Gasol brothers. So he was offering me, hey, you want to go to Europe and play professionally, or you want to go to the United States and go to high school and college? I was like, definitely want to go to school in the United States. So my
dream
My dream was, you know, because it was a Venezuelan player. I used to play for UNC Charlotte. His name is Diego Guevara, number 21. That's the reason I use 21. So I'm huge with like empowering my culture. So Diego was still an idol and a guy that I
wanted to do what he did.
I look up to, and he was playing on ESPN. He was the only student athlete married at that time. So every time he hit a three, he was kissing his wife, sending kisses to his wife.
Right.
So I wanted to go to college here, and I wanted to go to high school. So then Tommy Loy, I think he's a head coach for the University of Arizona right now. Yeah. He was one of the assistant coaches for the University of Gonzaga.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he was the one trying to help me to come here. Well, he helped me.
Mm-hmm.
But he located me in Washington, D.C., not in Washington State.
You got the wrong Washington, so
like, man. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm doing my homework one day, and I'm like, I want to go to Maryland. And he was like, that's messed up, man. I was the one helping you. I'm like, yo, I don't know anyone in Washington over there.
Right. But how did you end up at Montrose?
Well, then Arturo was talking to Tommy. And Tommy was like, I can help him to come to high school here in the States. And then Tommy spoke to David Atkins, which is a huge guy that made a tremendous impact in my career as well.
Yeah,
he was one of the Stu Vedder's assistant coaches.
I know Dave. I know him very well.
Yeah. And then he went to Maryland
was in the NBA too.
And then in the NBA,
he was wandering the halls of DeMatha for a while.
Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah. So he was. You know what? He was the guy. I mean, his work ethic and his player development abilities was unbelievable, and he got me better. He got me better as a player, and he got me better as a human being as well. So it was a blessing, man. I can't complain. Then I got here. I went to Montrose. Imagine a kid from Caracas. Montrose at that time was sponsored by Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine
you got
me
all your stuff.
Wearing all
Jordan.
And when I was back home, I couldn't afford any Jordans or anything like that.
Yeah, I want you to tell me more about that, because I don't know anything about Venezuela. I'm dumb. I live only in this area. Mm-hmm. Imagine a guy from Caracas. Give me the vibe. What is it like?
Well, you know, I love my country a lot. I love my people and my culture, but you cannot put aside like the fact that we are a third world country. So
what does that mean well, specifically?
There's the haves and the haves nots.
No, I understand. So what is it like?
Access, economy.
Did you guys have TV? Like, I don't even know.
No, well, yeah, TV. We, you know, we got everything that we got here. But the thing is, like, some people struggle in to be able to have access to, you know, things that we have access here, healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Education,
so many different things. So like, you have to work harder. You have to be actually really, really focused, because if you're not, then you're gonna struggle. So imagine going through, you know, different limitations back home, where my mom and dad wasn't making enough money for me to buy me a ticket to come to the United States, or just to pay for the process to get in a visa, or going to a private school back home. Or buying a pair of shoes, like Jordan shoes, like that was hard back in the day. Right. Still hard nowadays. So that made a tremendous character in myself. So I wanted to make it. I wanted to be different, and it was not gonna be any excuses. So that's why I take a lot of pride in terms of, like, I love where I came from, and I love my country, and I'm always gonna be repping my country and my people, because I know how hard it is, but I was able to make it. Imagine, like, not only going to high school, then going to college and walking around campus and people talking about, like, wow, well, who is this guy? Uh-huh. Is he the best player? Is he the legend we thought he was going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then playing against UNC when they were the number one team in the country, and playing against Duke, my senior night, and all that stuff. And that didn't stop there. Then you have to – then
get drafted.
Then the dream, the biggest dream, you know, came through, which is, you know, playing in the NBA. So it's sending a powerful message to my country, to the youth, because nowadays that's what I do. I love to incubate and help and help my culture, especially the youth, to, you know, present a platform that they can actually go through like I did. You know what I mean? Yep. And that's the reason I'm here, you know, because obviously you will always want to go back to your community and help and lead. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why I'm always going to be thankful with Coach Vedder, Coach Atkins, Gary, my school, the best 4 years of my life, University of Maryland.
I was going to say, that has to be true, right?
What was your spot at Maryland? Okay, we went to Maryland a long time ago. The spots are different. What was your spot now when you were hanging out?
I used to go to Cornerstone Bentley a lot.
I'm not gonna lie.
13 total when I was there. So it was unbelievable, man. I will never forget my time there. That was the best time of my life.
Did you ever buy a drink at the University of Maryland with your own money?
It was funny because I used to tell my dad, I think they love me here more than they love me in Caracas. So he was like, shut up. Like, that's not true. And and he started coming to our games.
Yeah.
So then after games, you go, you know, out and eat dinner and all that. So like, every restaurant, every bar, everything was packed.
Right.
So the way they treated me, and even now, was unbelievable. So my dad was like, "Oh, are we paying for this?"
Yeah.
I guess not, because you don't have any money.
Your money's still good here. Say, Dad, your money's still good.
Why do you think? Obviously, you're a great player, but why do you think you and Gary hit it off so much? Like, why he really loved you. I'm sure he still does to this day, but
yeah, we still talk. Yeah. I still talk to all my coaches, and I try to continue to build that relationship and stay in touch. But I think it was something that it was meant to be. We never talk basketball. Like I'm the type of player that you know, I can come over here and talk to you guys about anything but basketball.
Can I give you my theory?
Or baseball.
I think you guys both are passionate. You played with passion. He coaches with passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar personality.
That was our similarities. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was the fact that he was able to talk to me about, like, how's your family? How things in Venezuela? How can I help you? And honestly, you always play for your coach. You don't play for any name in front of your jersey. That's like, whatever player tells you that, like, oh yeah, I love Maryland. Mm-hmm. I love the Washington Wizards or whatever team you played on, the Commanders, but you love your coach. You know what I mean? You go to battle with your coach. Like, to me, I was playing for Gary.
And here's a great quote from Gary about Grievous. He says, I remember having to defend Grievous his freshman year. He would do that shimmy after he'd make a three. I'd get all kinds of hate mail saying, quote, you can't control your players. My only response was, did the ball go in? The one thing I learned about coaching, don't take away what makes a guy good.
He had personality on the court.
That was a key point. Like, he was letting me be myself. Mm-hmm. And people that were, you know, everyone was thinking at that time, like, even now, like, oh, he's this guy just turns around and just yelling at his assistant coaches. He's the most mellow guy. Like, off the court, he was a different guy. Like, only one time, I remember my triple-double against UNC in Conca Center. I was playing okay, but I was like, I was down in terms of like, what's going on with my teammates? You know, we playing against the number one team in the country,
right,
at home. So my body language was messed up. So he called a timeout and he just went at me. But he cussed me out. He was like, you don't think we're gonna win this game, right? You want me to sit you up down? And I'm like, he was going at me, and to me, he was holding me accountable, and he was teaching me at that very moment how to be a leader and be positive and do the right thing on the court and off the court. So then after that timeout, I mean, I went crazy. I'm like, nah, he's not gonna go at me like that. I'm responding. And he did it in so many ways, but smart. Like, one time he was telling the assistant coaches, like, well, Gravis is shooting too much. I want him to get more assists. You know, I got to the NBA because my vision, because my passing ability, and to be able to make good reads and understand the game, like run pick and roll. I was able to come off the bench, or I was able to start on any team in the league. But it was about having a role. Like, it's 462 players in the NBA. How many superstars?
Mm-hmm.
Like 20?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is a role player, right, making millions of dollars. So stop it. If you're a young kid, you're not at school right now and you're listening to this, just like, find your role. So like, Gary taught me that. Right. What is your role? So he was telling the assistant coach, like, you got to, he got to pass more. He got to get his teammates involved. So next game is against NC State at home. And I took it personal. And that was my relationship with him. Like, hey, I'm a man. You can't be telling me. But in a positive way. And then I didn't take a shot in the first half. I have like 10 assists the first half.
Are you doing that to be a jerk?
Just to prove him wrong. Like, hey, I can run this team. I can run any team in this country, in this world, and I can make anyone around me better.
Yeah.
So I was directly to him. Like, I have wide open shots, and I didn't take the shots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm.
He did a Kobe bit.
Real quick before we go to break.
Gil did that.
I know we got to go to break in a second. And we're going to talk about the Wizards, I know. But how different college sports is now. If you were playing 15 years later, 20 years later, let's just say you were playing now, chances of you being at Maryland for 4 years are probably zero, because you might have started at Maryland, but money might have been better at Kansas. And Kansas would say, oh, we're going to give you or Oklahoma or, you know, Texas. So that's how different it was back then, that you stuck it out for 4 years. But now it's rare that guys stick it out for 4 years.
Totally.
I mean, good players like you.
Totally. I mean, now that I watch college basketball, I've been doing the Final Four the last 6 years, and I watch these young athletes and the way the NCAA is structured. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine me playing during this time, but you're talking about NIL. You're talking about all these things that, you know, I never have access. I was just a happy kid to have a scholarship and going to class and playing on national television against Duke and UNC. And that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I try not to think about, like, how much money I would have made if we wouldn't have NIL. And obviously, now I understand the business of sport. Being in the NBA and being around baseball professional teams back home, and then you'd be like, oh, this is how it works. So I understand it. Like, the NBA does a tremendous job in terms of, like, G League, and the G League actually forced the NCAA. I mean, the NBA forced the NCAA to, like, you got to start paying players now or find a way to compensate these players, because then you don't want to have to go, you don't have to go to college, but then you have to go. You can be professional right away and make $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year. So playing against pros. So, but at that time, I needed college. I needed, you know, what we talked about. Like,
worked for you.
It worked for me. So, like, I needed my 4 years, and it worked. I mean, I ended up playing in the NBA, and I'm not in the NBA as an active player right now because I have 6 surgeries on my right ankle.
Mm. Wow.
So, talking about Venezuela, I never had any mentors or anyone that was actually guided me to, like, hey, you got to take care of your body. So I sprained my ankle, went to my grandma's house, and like, hey, do some Venezuelan thing. so I can say
Spanish.
Next day I was playing.
Yeah.
So then I have 6 surgeries now, and my last contract wouldn't be 4 years, $60 million. So imagine not having a great base or a foundation where, like, you understand the business of sports. It's more than just putting the ball in the basket. You know, it's more than hitting a home run or scoring a touchdown. It's just being human and understanding, like, oh, I'm talented. I can do this. So how can I take advantage of my talent?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a smart way. So I'm happy to be here, man. That's
and you're part of the business of sports. We're going to talk to you about it when we come back from break. You're doing stuff with Monumental Sports, Altcast, Spanish Broadcast. So we'll get into that and the Wizards next with Gravis Vasquez here on the Junkies.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.